Good morning, church. Man, you guys excited to be here this morning? Yeah, man, I am so pumped to be with you this morning. Hey, before we get started, do me a favor. Let's give it up for all of our friends and loved ones that are joining us online right now. Come on, welcome them, church. Listen, we love you guys so much. Thank you for tuning in this morning. Here's what I need everyone to do. Pull out your phones. Come on, show me your phones. I know you got them. I see them already. Here's what I need you to do, including those online. I need you to do me a big favor. Go to Facebook right now. Pull it up. Hit the little app. I know you have it on your phone. Those are you're probably watching us on Facebook now. Here's what I need you to do. I need you to go to the bottom right screen of High Ridge Longview. Go ahead and pull that up and press the share button. Push the share button, and here's why. It's about to go down, all right? It's about to go down. I am extremely excited to share this word with you this morning. Here's what we know. The more a stream is shared, the more people it reaches. And we're going to share some things today from God's word. I'm telling you, people are going to see this online, and it's going to encourage them because it's encouraged me. So I'd love for you to share this message this morning. Well, before we dig into the message, I want to introduce myself. My name is Zach Greider. I am the campus pastor for our High Ridge Church Fort Worth location. And I am so excited to be here. I have my beautiful wife, Miranda. She's here on the front row, waving her hand, a little princess wave. And then I have the rest of our tribe, three kids, prayers appreciated, over in kids ministry right now. I have a five-year-old little boy named Arrow, a four-year-old little girl. She's four, right? See, when you get to three, you don't even know. He's just like that one right there, all right? She's 4 years old. Her name is Day. And then our youngest is a year and 4 months, and her name is Isla. Yes, we're millennials, and we like weird names. And so I have an awesome family and glad they're here this morning. But here's the deal. Here's also why I'm excited to be here this morning. I love preaching in Longview, Texas, because I feel like I'm coming home. And here's why. Because I'm a redneck from Louisiana, all right? And so here's the deal. And I'm not Cajun. I'm North Louisiana. So all my life I've heard, oh, well, you're just really East Texas, all right? Like, that's what I've heard my entire life. And so I love being here, being around friends and family, and we're excited to be here this morning. And again, I really, truly believe that God has something that he wants to share with us this morning. And I just want to let you know, here in just a little bit, I'm going to get fired up. I'm going to preach, okay? But I want you to know this. I'm not preaching at you. I'm preaching to Zach Greider. You just get to listen in. Because I really believe as we're going into 2021, and here's really where my mindset is, just to bring you in the loop. Coming out of 2020 and coming into 2021, I don't know about you, but I feel like I'm still trying to catch my breath. And so what I've been doing as a Christian, not just a pastor, but as a Christian, is asking the Lord, man, how do I go into this year? Like, what am I supposed to do? I know I'm supposed to be a man of faith, but I have no idea what to expect this year. Like, do I expect for it to get better? Do I expect for it to get worse? And I think we all feel that way. Like, no one knows what's coming. In fact, I'd be willing to bet that most of you in this room, you probably have not created a New Year's resolution. Because you're like, no way. I did that last year, 2020, year of vision, and then it all fell apart. So most of you, probably like me, you've been like just kind of waiting to see what this year is going to bring. And so as I was thinking about this and experiencing those emotions for myself, I really felt like the Holy Spirit just reminded me, listen, son, no matter what your circumstances are, you're supposed to be a man of faith. No matter what happens in the world, we're supposed to be a church, a people of faith. Now, what does that mean? Here's what that means. Faith is simply this. It's confidence in God. We don't have to complicate it. Faith is simply believing God is who he says he is. He can do what he says he can do, and he loves us as much as he says he loves us. That's faith. It's real simple. So as I felt like the Holy Spirit revealed this to me, then I thought, okay, God, well, how do we do that as the church going into 2021? How do we be a people of faith, especially coming out of the year we just came out of? And I felt like the Lord shared with me and reminded me that, man, listen, to be a son or a daughter of faith, is to simply be about our Father's business. So my challenge to us today, and again, to Zach Greider as well, is that for us as Christians, as sons and daughters, those of us that claim to have a relationship with Jesus, we need to get back to being about our Father's business. And here's the reason I say back, because to be honest with you, I think in the American Christian church, somewhere along the way, we have become a people that are consumers rather than contributors. So here's what's happened, and here's what 2020 showed us,
In fact, studies would say that around 30 to 35% of Christians are people that were sitting in buildings a year ago are no longer sitting in those same buildings, and they're not even watching online. They've walked away and they're not coming back. And you know what that shows me? That we had 30 to 35% of the people showing up to our buildings that were more about what's the church gonna do for me rather than seeing themselves as the church. And so with my encouragement to you today, listen, this has been the thing I've challenged for myself, that we've got to get back to being contributors. That we are the church. Can I remind you, there is no more plans. There's not a plan B. The solution to the problems in your life, the solution to the problems in our country is not a better government, it's not a better marriage, it's not more money in the bank, and it's not more success. It's Jesus, period. And if Jesus is the solution, then we are the plan. Church, we are the plan. There's only a plan A, there's not a plan B. So here's the challenge for all of us this morning, including myself, that we get back to being about our Father's business. If we're gonna see change in our marriage, if we're gonna see change in our children, in our business, in our schools, in our community, in the state, and in this country, it begins with us being who God has called us to be. Let me tell you what the problem with America is. And First Service didn't get this, so count yourself blessed to hear this right now. Let me tell you what the problem with America is. It's not the government, it's the church. Let me tell you why, because we're the hands and feet. So when God saw this, when he wanted to reach sons and daughters and bring them into his spiritual family, the plan that he put together was sending people like you and I to be the men and the women that God has called us to be. And so the challenge today is that we would get back, everyone say back, to being about our Father's business, amen? So let's pray, and I'm just getting started. Let's pray as we get ready to dig into God's word this morning. Lord, thank you so much for all you've done for us, God. And I just pray over the next few moments that you would use your words to build and encourage your people, that you would use your word to build us up, God, and to remind us, God, of who we are and whose we are. So Lord, speak to us this morning, inspire us, motivate us to be who you've called us to be. In Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen. So as I kept thinking about this whole concept of, okay, getting back to our Father's business, what does that mean? That means we've got to be about people because God's about people. Right? The whole reason that God sent Jesus down the cross is because he wanted a relationship with people. And so as I was thinking about this concept, I kept coming back to this term, this word value. What does value even mean? And it led me on this rabbit trail of Googling, what are some of the most valuable items in the world? And I found a lot of crazy things. And I'm gonna show you four crazy items today that people paid a ridiculous amount of money for. Okay, so this is gonna be fun. Here's the first item right here. You're gonna see it on the screen. This is a bluefin tuna. Years ago, there was a sushi chef. Does anybody like sushi in here? Come on, thank you, Jesus. Bring the worship team back up. Let's go into worship. I love some sushi. It's one of my favorite foods, even though I'm red. I love it. I love it. A few years ago, there was a sushi chef that paid for this bluefin tuna. You ready for this? $3.1 million for one fish. I'm in the wrong business, all right? $3.1 million for this fish. That's insane, right? Here's the second item. You see it here on the screen. This is a diamond watch. This watch, again, these items I'm showing you are considered. They were on a list of top 10. I picked out the four most interesting to me. This diamond watch right here, you ready for this? Sold for $55 million. Now, I'll be honest with you. I'm getting my money back. This looks like something my daughter created in arts and crafts, all right? This does not look like $55 million. Here's the third item right here. Check this out. We got any car guys in here? Any car guys? I'm about to offend you. Are you ready for this? This is considered the most expensive car in the world. This is a 1963 Ferrari. Whew. You ready for the price tag? $70 million. For this car right here. Now listen, I'm a redneck from Louisiana. I drive a jacked up truck, but if I had the money, I would buy a black Lamborghini with some red interior. You know what I'm saying? Can I get an amen on that? Like that's the sports car I go with. But at minimum, can we at least put a $5,000 paint job on this mug? Come on, somebody. Like what is going on here? $70 million for this thing. Here's the last item for you. And this one's going to blow your mind. This is a painting right here painted by, many of you probably heard of him, Leonardo da Vinci. He's one of the original greats, one of the greatest artists of all time. I'm gonna call him Leo for this illustration. Leo painted this picture. You ready? This is how much it sold for. A Saudi prince paid 400 $150 million for this painting. It's known as the Savior of the world because it's Jesus. For almost half $1 billion for this painting. Now, here's the problem. I got a problem on boy Leo. Several problems right here. First one is this. He painted a white Jesus. And this ain't just white. This is next level white right here. You know what I'm saying? This Jesus has never seen the sun in his life, okay? Second problem, he painted a dress on him. Come on, man. Like, well, Zach, that's what they want. No, that's a dress. I don't care what age and time. That's a dress, all right? Third problem I have, and maybe it's because the painting has faded. He has got red Goldilocks here. Like, you don't get those curls naturally. That's a curling iron. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm getting my money back on this. $450 million. Now, check it out. I'd be willing to bet that if any of you in this room were a billionaire, I'd be willing to bet, and I may be wrong, but I'd be willing to bet if you are a billionaire, most of you in this room would never pay the amount of money for any of those objects that I've shown you. But here's the point. Someone paid that for them. So value, friends, listen to me. Value is not determined by the object. It's determined by the one who's willing to purchase it. Now, watch this, friends. Every single person in this building and on this campus today, every single person watching online, every single human being on this planet right now that is breathing air, their life has value. Period. It's not up for discussion. Every single life on this planet has value. So listen to me, church. If we're going to get back to being about our Father's business, we have to get to this understanding that no matter what people look like, no matter what they've done, no matter where they've come from, no matter how they vote, every single person on this planet, their life has value. Now listen to me, not because we've determined that value, not because they've determined that value, it's because their Creator has determined that value and was willing to send His Son to die on the cross for them. Their value, church, has been determined. In fact, the Bible would say in 1 John 3:16, by this we know love. So how do we know love? We know it by this, that He, Jesus, laid down His life for us. Hey, friends, can I just remind you of the gospel? And here's why I'm going to remind you of it. Here's what I've seen happen, especially in Texas. We're the belt buckle of the Bible Belt. In fact, you could probably say we're the belt buckle of the Bible Belt of the world, essentially. Here's what's happened to a lot of us right here. We've spent so much time in church. Many of you probably can recite the Christmas story. You could probably recite the Easter story. I'd be willing to bet most of you in this room probably have John 3:16 memorized. Here's what happens. We hear the gospel so much that we become numb and forget its power. The gospel, church, may I remind you, is this, that when you are born into this world, you are separated from God because of sins and mistakes. And every person in this room and watching online would be willing to admit we've all sinned and messed up at some point in our life. And the Bible says, whether you've sinned once or a million times, if you have sinned, you are separated from God. And the gospel, the good news is this, that God saw that separation in eternity past. He knew we were going to sin. He knew that we were going to reject Him. So He puts a plan in place to make a way for you and I to be in a relationship with Him. And what was the plan? To send His Son to die on the cross for you. Now watch this, church. Have you ever asked the question, okay, if God is all powerful, why didn't He just decide to forgive us? Have you ever asked, like, I found myself asking that question. Like, if He's all powerful, why didn't He just forgive us? Like with my kids all the time, they're always messing up and doing something, breaking something. I don't make them go and repay me. They can't repay me. So what do? Because I love them, we correct it and I say, I forgive you. Why didn't God do that? Why didn't He just say, hey, you know what? I love you. You can't pay me back, so I'm gonna forgive you. You're forgiven. Why didn't God do that? Here's why. Because the Bible says that God is just and He is righteous and He is perfect, which means if He's gonna be just and holy, He has to punish sin. If He doesn't punish sin and your mistakes, if there's not a price paid for our sin, then He's not just and He's not good. So God, in eternity past, before He puts the world into motion, He comes up with a plan. Okay, I want to create my sons and daughters. I want to have a relationship with them, but they're going to sin. They're going to reject me, and I have to do something with that sin. I have to punish it. So what am I going to do to make a way for them to be in relationship with me? Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to send my son to die on the cross and pay the price for their sin. So he does that, and Jesus comes. We all know the story, and he hangs on that cross for 6 hours, gasping for air as his lungs fill up for blood. And he dies on that cross, and then 3 days later, he walks out of that tomb just like he said he was going to. Why? So that you and I can be in relationship with a holy, perfect, righteous God. That's the gospel, and that's the good news. And again, in 1 John 3:16, it says, this is how we know love. Listen, somebody needs to hear this, and maybe watching online, you've been questioning whether your life has value or you're loved or not. In fact, some of you in here, you might feel like you're not that special. Man, I'm nothing, Zach. I haven't done anything with my life. You don't know the things I've done in my past. Man, I've wasted my life. I'm nothing. I'm no. I'm not doing anything significant with my life. Listen, friend, I don't know your story, and I don't have to know your story. I know the Bible. And that Jesus that I just talked about, that hung on that cross for 6 hours, drowning his own blood, didn't just do that for Zach Grider, the preacher on the platform. He did that for you. And the Bible says in Romans 5:8 that God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were yet, everyone say yet, sinners. What does that mean? All your sins when Jesus died on the cross were future to him. He knew exactly what you were going to do. These reasons that you have in your mind of why you're insignificant or why your life doesn't have value, Jesus knew those things. And yet he's still determined to pay the ultimate price for your life, which was to die on the cross for you, friend. Your life has value because your creator has decided that it has value. So listen, maybe you feel insignificant. Maybe you feel like your life doesn't have value. Your life is meaningless. And I will remind you today, friend, God has a plan for your life. Because if he didn't, he wouldn't have killed his son on that cross for you. But we know that he did. So again, we know love by this, that he laid down his life for us. This is the good news. So what does that mean? It means that our life has value. Now watch this. The scripture goes on to say in 1 John 3:16, so because we know what love is, we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers or sisters. Okay, so church, we're here. We accept that our life has value. We accept this creator and this life-changing relationship with him. Now the Bible says, okay, we don't just accept that and go sit on the sideline. We don't accept Jesus now and become consumers. No, when you accepted Jesus, you joined the game. You got up off the sideline. Now you're in this. Now you're a part of this. And now we're to take that love, that life change that we've experienced. And now we're to go and share with others that their life has value and that there's a God that loves them despite where they've come from and what they've done. Now it's time to get in the game. So here's the question today, friend. This love, if you call yourself a believer, which means there was a moment in your life where you surrendered your life to Jesus. If you call yourself a believer, how has that love with Jesus changed the way that you see people? How has it changed the way that you see people? Again, the goal today is to get us back to being about our Father's business. And until we can start seeing people the way that God sees them, we won't accomplish that. We've got to get back to being about our Father's business. So here's the first thing I want you to write down. As believers, as Christians, we've got to have compassion for people. We've got to have compassion. Now, I want to point out a passage of scripture, and this is where we're going to spend all of our time today for the next 19 minutes and 20 seconds. Luke chapter 15 is where we're going to spend our time. This is a story about Jesus, the one we just talked about. This changed your life. This is a story about him. And reason we're reading this, because again, we want to capture his heart. So we've got to have compassion for people. How do we know this? Luke 15 verses 1 and 2. Here's what it says. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to him. Now pause for a moment. I want you to think about this. This is Jesus the Messiah, right? He is fully God and fully man. What the Bible just said is that Jesus was living his life in such a way, think about this, that the tax collectors and sinners, and you could put any sin that you want in that category of sinners. He was living his life in such a way that tax collectors and sinners were drawn to him. Oh, man. Hey, friend. And this was the challenge for me when I was studying this. Are we living our life as Christians in such a way that those who are lost and separated from God are drawn to us? Hey, here's another way to put it. This Jesus that you talk about that we live for, do people want that Jesus because of the way that you live? Here's another one. I'm about to get in your grits a little bit, but hang with me because I love you. Do you post on social media in such a way that people see what you stand for and what you love, and they're drawn to the Jesus that you represent? Friends, one of the biggest lessons and the things that I saw that broke my heart the most in 2020 was the social media disunity that the church put out there. And friend, here, let me help you a little bit. This is the filter that I go through for Zach Grider. You do not represent you anymore. If you've surrendered your life to Jesus, may I remind you that yes, your life has value, and it has value because you've been bought. And you were bought with the blood of Jesus. And so can I remind you that the Bible talks about, and none of us would argue this, that when we're out in public, when we're in school, when we're in a restaurant, we should carry ourselves in such a way. We're not perfect. Nobody's claiming that. But the New Testament, the Apostle Paul has several writings talking about how we should act as Christians. In fact, the Bible would say that the world's gonna know your love for God by what? By the way that you love one another. In church, the age that we live in, that does not stop at the door of your social media. And it's time for us, when we're on social media, we've got to start choosing being about our Father's business over our opinions or even being right. Here's the challenge, friend. Listen to me. We don't represent us any longer. And let me tell you this. This is going to sting. We represent Jesus before we represent any ideologies that we're committed to. Hey, listen, even if they're good. Even if they're good. Hey, friend, listen, my identity is not me being an American. My identity is not wrapped up in how I vote. My identity is not wrapped up in my sexuality. My identity is in the sonship that I have with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and that's who I represent. Amen? That's who we are. That's who we are. So look, friend, the reason I want you to gain it, your identity is who he says you are. It's who he says you are. So when you're on social media, when you're in public, when we're out living life as Christians, we're to walk and live in our identity. Again, not being perfect, but we represent him. Amen? We've got to have compassion for people. And Jesus lived his life in such a way. Verse 2, and the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling and complaining, saying, this man receives and eats with them. So again, Jesus is living his life in such a way that sinners are drawn to him. So as he's hanging out with these sinners and tax collectors, not only is he hanging out with them, he's eating with them. Now, that's not that significant for us in 2021. But in biblical times, when you sat down and you shared a meal with someone, that signified that you accepted them. So Jesus is hanging out with the tax collectors and sinners, and what's happening is the Pharisees, which were the religious leaders of the time, we're standing off to the side, whispering and grumbling and complaining about Jesus not only hanging out with them, but also eating with them, living his life in such a way. Why? Because he had compassion. See, church, there's a difference in feeling sorry for someone and having compassion for someone. We're great at feeling sorry for people. What we need to start doing is having compassion for people. What is the difference? Compassion always leads to action. Compassion is looking at the suffering of others and being so moved by their suffering that we're willing to go and do whatever it takes to love on them and tell them, well, Zach, I don't know what to do with them. Zach, I can't fix their poverty. Zach, I can't fix their addiction. You're right. You can't fix any of that. But what you can do is tell them that their life has value and meaning and point them to their creator in a relationship that will change their life. No one has asked you to go fix anything. What we've been asked to do is go and represent the one who can. And to point people to Jesus. And listen, for a lot of you, you lack this compassion for people and this ability to go and do whatever it takes to reach people. In fact, that's number two. We should be willing to do whatever it takes to reach them. But a reason a lot of Christians don't do that is because you think you've got to fix them. Well, Zach, I don't know how to help them through this identity crisis that they have. I don't know how to help them overcome this addiction. And I don't know how to help. You're right. You're not to fix that. You're to bring them to the one who can. His name is Jesus. So this compassion, church, it leads us to action. What is that action? Us being willing to do whatever it takes to reach people. So Jesus is sitting there eating with the tax collectors and sinners, and because he's Jesus and he's awesome, he hears them grumbling and whispering and complaining about what he's doing. So now he turns his attention to them, and here's what he says. So he told them this parable. If you're new to church, a parable is simply a story that makes a point. So he told them this parable. What man of you, having 100 sheep. Now, Jesus is very, very intentional. And the reason he's using this sheep shepherd illustration for the Pharisees is because during biblical times, your flock, whether it was donkeys, sheep, camels, whatever the flock livestock that you oversaw, that represented your livelihood. So if you were going to put food on the table for your family and your children, it was to determine whether you're a good shepherd or not. It represented your livelihood. And Jesus goes on to say, if you had 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open. Everyone say open country to go after the one. Now watch this. Again, he's being intentional. I don't know if you know anything about farm animals. I grew up, I was a Louisiana registered hog farmer at the age of 12. Another story for another time. But here's the deal. My papa was very involved in agriculture. I know a lot about farm animals. So let me teach you something really quick. Out of all the farm animals, horses, sheep, goats, chickens, rabbits, hogs, listen to me, sheep are dumb. Fact, Jack, you just learned something in church today. What'd you learn? Sheep are dumb. Not only are they dumb, they're the dumbest. If you don't water them, if you don't feed them, if you don't protect them, they die. 100% of the time, they're dumb, which is interesting that the Bible always refers to us as sheep, okay? A little offensive, but it's okay. And true, it's true. So listen, Jesus says, hey, you've got 100 sheep. Which one of you wouldn't leave the 99 in open country? What's the point Jesus is trying to make? You're leaving the 99 in a vulnerable state. Here's what he's trying to say, church. It's going to cost you something. You've got to risk something to go after the one. But you go after the one 99 times out of 99 times. Why? Because they matter. And you and I have got to get back to this place and being about our Father's business and understanding that every person, even the ones that you don't like, their life has value. Why? Because their Creator has determined that. So in so doing, we've got to allow that compassion to move us to action, and we've got to risk something to go after the one. We've got to risk. Hey, let me ask you this, friend. Do you really believe this stuff? Let's think about it for a minute. I mean, do you really believe that there's a God who spoke this into existence, and that God, who's all-powerful, all-knowing, and ever-present, wants a relationship with people and sent his son to die on the cross to make a way for that to happen. And when we accept him, it changes our life. It brings fulfillment and peace. It doesn't make us perfect as we live on this planet, but it brings peace, purpose, belonging, and meaning to our lives. And because of that relationship, when we do die, we get to spend eternity in a place that we cannot fathom in our wildest imagination. Listen, friend, do you really believe this stuff? Because if we do, and this was the challenge to myself, and I have to remind myself of this all the time, if we really believe this, then we've got to be willing to do whatever it takes to go after the one. Yeah. We've got to be willing to do whatever it takes, again, because Jesus changes lives. Look, I know that 2020 was horrific, but this isn't the first time the church has been here. I just finished seminary and studying church history. Let me just tell you, 2020 looks like vacation Bible school compared to some of the things that the church has gone through. Do you realize they used to feed Christians who claimed to love Jesus to lions for entertainment in the Colosseum? So don't tell me that 20, I know it was bad, and I'm not trying to belittle it. Man, some of you lost your jobs, I understand, and I'm not trying to belittle your pain. Here's what I'm trying to say. We as Christians can't say, well, I can't go after the one God because my life's falling apart. God is still in the business of changing lives, and he's not done doing that until he sends Jesus. And listen, friend, the power is not in your knowledge. The power is not in your theology. It's not in your doctrine. The power is in the gospel, what Jesus Christ has done for everyone on this planet. Come on, somebody, I should get you fired up. And we've got to be the ones to go and tell them. We've got to be the ones to go and do whatever it takes to reach people. Amen? So we're to have compassion, and we're to be willing to do whatever it takes to go after them. And lastly, we've got to bring them into our spiritual family. So great, we have this compassion. Now we're going to do something about it. Let's go do whatever it takes to reach, to invite and gather. And may I just encourage you in that? Let's start inviting people back to church. Well, Zach, you know, my old uncle, man, old Boudreaux, he's old school, man. I don't know if he's going to like these lights. Y'all got some colored lights going up here. You got this drummer in this little cage thing going up here. I saw smoke coming out of this machine while ago. I don't know if he's about all that, Zach. Hey, church, can I remind you, how about we stop inviting people to a building and start inviting them to a relationship with Jesus? That's what church is supposed to be. And like, let me be honest with you. It's okay for you or others to come in this building and not be on board with everything that we do and the way that we do things. That's okay. Because it's not about any of those things anyway. We will worship without the drum cage. We can worship without cool smoke coming out of there. We can worship without these awesome lights. We will worship the King of Kings because we are about him and a relationship with him. That's what we're inviting people into. So can I help you change your perspective? Stop inviting them to a building and start inviting them into a relationship with Jesus. That's where the power's at. Their life is not going to be changed because of this awesome building. It's going to be changed because they encounter Jesus. So let's get back to inviting people to church. Well, I don't know about doing that on Sunday mornings, Zach, this, that, and the other. Listen, invite them into God's presence. Let's change our perspective. Let me help you for a moment. It's God's presence that changes people's lives. Can I be real with you? Even as a pastor standing on the platform, I don't want to be in this building if God's presence isn't here. Let me take it a step further. You're wasting your time being in this building if God's presence isn't here. But here's what we know. It's here. And it's changing lives. So you're not inviting them to a building. You're not inviting them to the way that we do church. You're inviting them into a relationship with Jesus. Bring them on Sundays. Not only do we need to invite them there, we also need to invite them into groups, into a relationship with other Christians. Invite them into relationships. Can I remind you that the Bible says the way God has designed you, just like he designed your body to have water, you can't wake up tomorrow and say, I'm just not gonna have water anymore. Not gonna do it. Not gonna do it. Gatorade only. You're not gonna do that. You can't do that. Why? Your body needs water. And just like your physical body needs water to survive, listen to me, Christians, and those watching online, your spiritual life needs other Christians and other believers in your life that love Jesus more than they love you so that you can survive and be the man and the woman that God's called you to be. So listen, today, go sign up for a group. Well, what if I don't like it? We have 18. How about you go try all of them? Well, if I don't like any of them, how about you start leading one? Well, Zach, I don't know theology. What if they ask me about aliens and dinosaurs and I don't know the answer to that? Hey, that's fine. Listen, we'll give you a curriculum where all you got to do is press play. All you got to do is host them in your house, love on them, and tell them they're awesome, that their life has value, and that there's a God that loves them and wants a relationship with them. Let's invite them into God's presence on Sundays. Let's invite them into relationships and groups, and let's invite them into serving. Join a team. Well, Zach, you know, old Boudreaux, I don't think he's going to stand at the door and just smile at people. He don't smile real good anyway. He don't have most of his teeth. Listen, here's the deal. Being from Louisiana, I always have this made-up character called Boudreaux, all right? Just go with it. We're not just inviting them to serve in tech. We're not just inviting them to serve on the platform. We're not just inviting them to serve in kids. We're inviting them to experience purpose. See, we're going to see people saved this morning. We saw people saved last service. Watch this. It's not because I preached right. It's because all of us together, we're operating in our gifts and God used the body to bring people into relationship with him. Go and join. Be a part of a team. Experience purpose. So we need to get back to inviting and being about our Father's business. Now watch this. Not only do we need to invite, we need to gather. And there is a difference. Here's the best way I can illustrate it for you. An invite would look like this. Hey guys, there's a new sushi restaurant downtown and they just paid $3 million for a fish. You should go check it out. That's an invite. What we also need to be willing to do as Christians is gather people. Here's gathering. Hey friend, hey, tomorrow night I'm gonna pick you up at 7. I'm gonna take you to this new sushi restaurant. It's gonna blow your mind. We're gonna eat a $3 million piece of tuna. See the difference? There is a place to invite, but I think what the church also needs to do is get back to gathering. And how do you do that? What motivates you? We got to change our perspective. It's not a building. It's a relationship. It's not just Sunday morning. It's God's presence. It's not just groups. It's relationships. It's not just serving. It's finding purpose. I've spent a lot of time with people as a pastor. It's what I do. And one thing I've found with people, whether they are spiritual or not, whether they believe in God or not, every single human being on this planet is searching for belonging. They're searching for it and they're hungry for it. And we have the solution. So not only are we to be compassionate, not only are we willing to do whatever it takes to reach people, we bring them into our spiritual family. We invite them into our family. We gather them into our spiritual family. Here's what Jesus says in Luke 15, continuing with the story. So which of you wouldn't leave the 99 to go after the one? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. I love this because the Bible didn't say that the one that goes and finds the sheep beats him on the head and says, get back over there where you're supposed to be. No, he says when he finds it, he picks up the sheep and lays it on his shoulder and rejoicing and takes him back, watch this, to where he belongs. Your coworker, your family member, your loved one, those in your school, the ones on this planet that don't have a relationship, here's what we're trying to do. We're trying to bring them back to where they belong. That's what motivates us to reach, to love people, and to invite them and connect them into relationship. They're searching and they're looking. He finishes up the story with this, Luke chapter 15. Here's how he finishes. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, rejoice with me, for I found my, everyone say my sheep. Hey, your boss, that's God's son. That's God's daughter that he's longing for to be back into his family. Your coworker, those on social media, those in your school, your spouse, your children, those are his sheep. And he has sent us. We're the one. We're the co-shepherd that God has sent from the 99 to go after the one. And he's longing for them to be back in a part of his family. Rejoices when he finds him, for I have found my sheep that was lost. Just so I tell you, listen, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents. One person that gives their life to Jesus. Than over the 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Friend, if we're going to go into 2021 and we're going to be a people of faith, and we're going to be a church of faith, we've got to get back to being about our Father's business. And again, the way that we do that is we recognize how we got to where we are. And we got to where we currently are in the American church, the state that it's in. We got here because we have forgotten the value of a human life. And that our Creator has determined that value. And our Creator has sent us. He has sent us to tell them that they are loved and that their life has value. So let's go and be the church that God's called us to be. Amen. Let's have compassion. Let's do whatever it takes to reach them. Let's invite and gather. And let's invite them into our spiritual family. Amen. Let me pray for you this morning. Lord, we thank you so much for your word, and we thank you for who you are. God, I just pray that you would use this word to stir us up to be the church you've called us to be. That when all of us, including me, God, when we leave here today, God, may we go and do what you've called us to do. May we find the one. May we be willing to do whatever it takes to reach them, and let's invite and gather them into our spiritual family so that they too can experience belonging. God, use us, strengthen us for your glory and for your name's sake. Now, with heads bowed and eyes closed, I have one more prayer this morning before we dismiss. Maybe as I was talking about the gospel earlier and what God has done for you and the price that he's paid for you, maybe you heard that and it did something inside of you. Maybe even for some of you, you recognize that this gospel, this relationship with Jesus that I'm talking about, the life-changing aspect of it, you've actually never experienced that for yourself. And maybe for you, your story was a lot like mine. You've tried church and you've tried religion, but you've never surrendered to a relationship. It's the relationship that changes us, not religion and not church. So here's my encouragement to you, friend. Maybe today is the day that you surrender to that relationship. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to pray a prayer in just a moment. And it's not a magical prayer. This is not a formula. We're simply going to talk to Jesus. In fact, you can use your own words if you'd like. But what I want you to do in this moment, if that's you and you say, I've never experienced that life-changing relationship with him, I want you to pray to him. I want you to accept him and experience what I'm talking about. So if that's you, friend, and even those watching online, I want to encourage you to pray with me quietly to yourself. Let's pray. Dear God, I know I'm a sinner. God, I know I've messed up. And right now, God, I want to ask you to forgive me of my sins. And right now, God, I want to turn from doing life my way. And I want to start doing life your way. And Jesus, I want to invite you into my heart and into my life to be my Lord and my Savior. And Jesus, I want to thank you for dying on that cross for me,
for conquering sin and death, and for just now saving me. Now, with heads bowed and eyes closed, no one's looking up, no one's looking around. There are some of you here this morning. You just prayed that prayer with me. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to call you out, nothing like that. I just want to celebrate your decision. If you just prayed that prayer with me, would you just lift up your hand real quick? Just those that prayed. Awesome. Got you, ma'am. Just those that prayed. Just keep your hand up. Awesome. Just those that prayed. Great. For those of you that raised your hand, would you just look up and make eye contact with me real quick? Just those that raised your hand. Man, I'm so excited for you. This is just the beginning of a life-changing relationship. And for those of you watching online, if you just prayed as well, here's what I would love for you to do. You'll look up here on the screen. You'll see this number on the screen. If you prayed to receive Christ, I'd love for you to text, "I prayed," to that number on the screen. Here's why. We want to help you take your next step. This is just the beginning of the journey. And those watching online, you can do the same. And as your spiritual family, we want to help you on this journey. You just joined our family, and we want to help you become the man and the woman God's called you to be. Man, I'm so excited for you. Hey, church, can we give it up for those that prayed to receive Christ? Come on, show them some love. Awesome, awesome, awesome.